Michelle said.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. We're, rocking and rolling. Just busy being a dad, working, slinging pipe tobacco, covered in black Cavendish, and just trying to own it, man. So, you doing okay?
I'm doing well. Hey, you know, I think I shared this with you, but I want to like give a little side promo, I guess. I don't know. Something I was kind of considering earlier today. It's beautiful right now. Like we're experiencing like some gorgeous weather right now. It's hot.
It's hot. Yeah,
it is very hot. But I mean, like, you know, the grass is green. Like everything is blooming again. A lot of things that died from the freeze last year have come back. Like it's a really pretty time to be outside and just kind of enjoy creation. We've got these ugly caterpillars that we found in our garden. I looked them up and they turn into these like gorgeous butterflies, and they just recently started like popping up, and now we got all these butterflies in the back patio and everything. But anyways, I was sitting back and I was just kind of reflecting on, you know, the back patio is kind of like my smoking spot. Like it's my core, like this is the place. If I'm going to be enjoying my pipe, this, you know, there's my chair. This is the space I want to do it in.
Kind of got the setup for it we've talked about before. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, like, you know, being kind of surrounded by the green. I mean, like, it was rough last year after the freeze, just with everything being dead. It really took a lot of joy away. You know,
it did, man. It was awful.
Like I could, like, to be honest, man, I couldn't even sit down and smoke my pipe and find joy in it because I just looked up and I was surrounded by death, and it was just awful. but anyway, so I say all that to say that I was, you know, enjoying the garden, enjoying how wonderful it was. And I was remembering, man, a couple months ago, I did a project with the Eudora Welty House, the Eudora Welty Garden in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, that's right. I'd forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we produced an audio tour of their garden. And it is a great little project that we did. Very proud of how it turned out. And we've got listeners that kind of come in and they do their pipe pilgrimage and that sort of thing. I just want to kind of put that on people's radar. If you come to Jackson, you visit Country Squire, you kind of, you know, typically people are looking for good food, good drink.
Yeah, kind of what are some of the local draws, you know?
And yeah, exactly. If you want to kind of visit the neighborhood where John David and I, you know, first met, if you want to give a little Country Squire radio history, but less important and less historical, Eudora Welty lived there.
Pulitzer Prize winning author. Yeah.
If you want to, you know, they've got an audio tour of their garden, and my team got to produce that. So I want to kind of give a quick plug for that.
Yeah, it's great.
As I was just reflecting the garden, like, man, that, you know, love it, man. It's a beautiful time of year, and would love for people to experience that next time they're in the hometown.
That's fun. It is funny. You know, people come to Jackson to visit the shop, and pipe smokers from literally all over the world. And we're so thankful for them and grateful and honored, you know, that they would come visit us. But, you know, it's just folks are like, well, what is there to do here? And I'm like, well, you've kind of found it. You've kind of found it. You know, you get to hang out with me and a couple other, you know, hicks and smoking a pipe. And we've got some good eateries around town, a couple places to, you know, wet your whistle and that kind of thing. But unless you are really into, you know, Civil War history or something related to maybe Eudora Welty or William Faulkner.
Blues, civil rights.
Blues, a lot of that kind of stuff. There's that kind of stuff around. So, but, you know, you're not going to, you know, go and watch an NBA basketball game in our sleep.
No, yeah. we're chock full of history and good food and end of list.
Yeah, that's it.
No, but it's great.
Full stop. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did want to kind of add that, though, for people great. That might take a track. Yeah. Hey, man, of course, we would not be having this podcast without the support of our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. If you've not done so already, head over there and you can join our International Pipe Club and help keep us on the airwaves. We really appreciate those of you who are doing it. And man, have we got an episode for you today. So I'm kind of excited about this episode because I feel as though it's one of these concepts that would never normally get approved. You know, I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. Like, I pitch shows to John David from time to time. And, you know, more often than not, they get a gentle no. which sometimes comes in the form of like, okay, so we're not going to do that. Today we're actually going to talk about
this. Yeah.
Which is fine, which is perfectly fine. Obviously, John David is, if you've listened long enough, 5 minutes, you'll have realized that John David is the subject matter expert here. But regardless, you know, there are some different kind of concepts that I think, you know, if paired correctly, they find their place. And that is where this episode is coming in. Last week, man, we talk about when to retire. And as the perfect follow-up to that, today we're going to be talking about when to acquire. Mm. Now, that's an interesting question, right? When to acquire a pipe? No, this is a pipe podcast. Should not the answer be always?
Always, like, at any given time? Yeah.
Yeah. When in doubt, buy pipe. Is that not the mindset that many of us have? But, you know, I think this is a subject that really kind of requires a little bit of attention to detail because, John David, not only are you a world-renowned tobacconist with an incredible palate, incredible blending skills, and have produced some insane products that many of us have been able to enjoy across the world, but you are also a pipe shop owner. You are somebody who sits across the counter, across the bar, as people come in and share with you their stories, share with you their pipes. You get a chance to see, you know, their collections and that sort of thing. And you're also kind of a industry guru. Is that too strong? That feels too strong.
That's too strong. I also, I think you've said a lot that's too strong today already. We're only 5 minutes into this, but we get exposed to a lot of this kind of stuff, right?
You've been around, you know, some stuff. And so I'm just kind of curious, man, when it comes to the question of when to acquire a pipe, have you yourself ever seen any pipes come by that you're like, nope. Like, you know what I mean? Like, has there ever been something that hits that price point that I don't want to call it ridiculous? Let's just say, caviar suddenly feels cheap by comparison.
Remember last week, what did I say? I use that phrase, hot air balloon, rich people. It's like, you know, it's something like that. Occasionally you do see a pipe come through and you're like, man, I mean, it's a decent looking pipe, but man, I've got kids, you know.
Got a mortgage.
I'd like to send them to school one day, or I don't know, fix their teeth if they, you know, send them to the dentist or something if I have to. you do see that pretty regularly. There's a lot of pipes that, frankly, are just really pricey, and you kind of scratch your head and you're like, well, that's interesting. That's one way to live your life. Yeah.
All right. So I have to ask, man, what is the most expensive pipe that you've ever seen?
Oh. In person, I can't think of it. I know at, you know, Chicago, I've seen $2,000, artisan pipes or, highly collectible pipes. But I can't think of, I haven't really seen in person those like, the crazy ones you hear about, like $50,000 or even $10,000. I can't, if I've seen one of those pipes, I can't remember it. I've probably blocked it out because it just wasn't, it wasn't for my palate. Yeah, I can't really think of any that are, over the kind of $2,000 price point. I did recently see, I was, just kind of browsing, one of our online retailer folks that if people frequent a lot, they had a former pipe on there, a former Nielsen pipe, Hans former Nielsen pipe that I think was, maybe $4,500, something like that. And it was
$4,500?
$4,500. It's beautiful. I mean, it's truly, truly beautiful. I mean,
what was it made out of?
It was a bit, you would think, like mammoth bone or something, but it was just a beautiful briar billiard, something that exquisite, straight grain all around the sides with a very handsome ebonite saddle bit stem and just a beautiful chunky billiard straight pipe. And $4,500. I mean, that's, you could buy a used car for that.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Pretty, okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's a market for that kind of thing, and everyone's got a tolerance and a limit for what they can pay. And that was interesting.
So I know that you've actually, you've shared with me before, and maybe I hope it's okay for me to even bring this up. But, obviously you've had pipes that have come through the store that, from different sales folks or different carvers that end up being kind of let's just say a higher tier than what you generally see move at the Squire.
Yeah, sure.
What is the highest, and in your time at the Squire, what is the most pricey product that you've had? Maybe not sold, but had for sale. Do you remember?
It actually was relatively recently. Sold a $1,400 Costello, actually. And that Costello, I may have even mentioned it on the show before. It was a pipe that the wood for that pipe was actually harvested back in 1982.
Wow.
And that pipe sat in northern Italy for 30-something years before they carved that pipe. That briar sat in a barn for that long before they carved that pipe. And it was just a very handsome piece, a very elegant piece. It was something that wasn't, you know, as superlative as far as any kind of crazy design or just a very straightforward kind of Dublin freehand. But yeah, man, a $1,400 pipe is nothing to sneeze at. And, you know, for a lot of people, a mortgage payment and or maybe even two. And it was significant. Yeah. But we actually sold that pipe, which we ate well that day.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I'm curious, when you see those kind of, you know, higher value, hang on, like, back up a little bit. Is it typically when you're looking in that, like, top tier, like, you know, into kind of the 1,000+, you know, mark? I mean, is that generally briar, or are you actually seeing, you know, materials that are a little bit harder to come by? Because I know, for example, like, you know, mortar pipes and those type of things end up being, at least for me, kind of in the pricier point. But even those are like several hundred dollars, not necessarily all the way up to $1,000, although I know those exist.
Yeah, I think they do exist. But yeah, typically your most expensive pipes are going to be briar. And, you know, they may feature some type of adornment, whether it be a silver band or, some type of, amber stem or something of that nature. But typically these are pipes that are pretty straightforward. They're just, fantastic. Fantastic grain, the woodworking and mechanics of the pipe are just outstanding, and of course the artisanship, just as far as the look of the pipe and the aesthetic of it, the skill it took to carve that particular shape is just off the charts. Or it can be a Hans Former Nielsen pipe, and it's just a simple billiard, but it's just one of the nicest pieces of grain you've ever seen, and so it can fetch that amount. It's they're just kind of all over the map, but yeah, they typically are briar.
So we've talked about buyer's remorse a little bit. I am curious, when it comes to dropping some dollars on a pipe, do you have in your collection a pipe that you would consider, maybe I shouldn't have? I don't want to get you in trouble.
No, it's one of those things. Like, I do have some pipes that I think I probably did overpay for, but none that I think of. Like, man, I just, shouldn't have gotten that. So, and some of those pipes, like, I've got a Davern Dinovic Morta pipe that I don't smoke very often, and it probably cost me $350, but, it's a great pipe. It smokes fine, but it's just such a big bowl, and I don't use it very often. I've got a couple of artisan pipe carver pipes that I don't smoke very often, but, it's one of those things that I wanted to purchase them because I supported the carver and like what they're doing and that type of thing. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not willing to to say yes. I think they all pretty worth it. Do you have one that you think you may have paid too much for?
No, I got to tell you, man, I've been very blessed in that most of my collection has come from gifts from listeners and that sort of thing. I have been very selective when it comes to buying pipes. Like, I have kind of certain shapes or styles, or maybe I'm looking for a specific kind of, not necessarily a replica of a pipe from a certain movie or television show or something of that nature, but yeah, like, I have an idea of a pipe. I remember, for example, I mean, this goes way back, but there was the pipe from the Sherlock Holmes, Downey's first Sherlock Holmes. I was looking everywhere for that pipe in like the first year or two of this podcast, because I really wanted to smoke it when I went to Italy. And actually, I finally found it like maybe a month or so before we went to Italy. And it wasn't the exact pipe or anything of that nature, but it was like a very, it was a saddle bit stem. It had the kind of, didn't quite have the exact rustication that I was looking for. But at the same time, in the back of my head, like, I'm still kind of looking for that pipe. Like, it worked for what it was. And so,
yeah.
And then on top of that too, there's also been times where I'm like, okay, I need a pipe specifically for, you know, I'm going fishing in this particular region or something of that nature. And I have kind of an image in my head of what I want that experience to look like. When I take a picture of myself, you know, holding up my salmon or whatever it may be, I want to know exactly what I look like. And maybe I have a pipe for that. I've got a pipe that I got specifically for my brother's bachelor party where we did kind of a big, you know, big poker game. And I specifically went out and found a pipe with the biggest, chunkiest bowl I could possibly find because I wanted to pack that thing with pipe tobacco and I wanted it to last me the entire game. And I guess, you know, if anything, that's probably one that I do regret though, because that one I don't actually smoke all that much anymore because while it wasn't the price point that kind of gave me the remorse, it's the fact that it's so chunky that it doesn't feel comfortable in my hand. And so like it ended up kind of being this one that kind of ends up collecting dust. And really that's the thing, man. When we think about when to acquire a pipe, we're really talking about how to make smart purchases that end up with you not regretting the purchase. It doesn't like for many people, it's probably you spent too much money on it, but there's a lot of reasons why you could find yourself, you know, having, you know, purchased the wrong pipe, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we're taking a look at the extraordinary pieces that when you do finally make the purchase, it kind of, you know, you have to grit your teeth a little bit. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, is this a pipe I'm going to mind sleeping on the couch for? am I going to mind the fact that I have to sleep on the couch for a week because I bought this pipe? And you know, we want you to be able to say, yeah, no, it's good. This was worth it, you know? and talking about the value of a pipe, you know, there's a lot of reasons that you would spend the kind of money we're talking about on a pipe. You know, when assessing, you know, pipes and price points, your desire is always the main part of the equation. Like, is this a pipe that I'm going to enjoy? Is it of my taste? You know, I'm going to enjoy smoking it. Does the craftsmanship of it and the shape, does it, you know, tug on my heartstrings? Would the type of tobacco I prefer to smoke well in this pipe? You know, would it fit right in my hand? Are the proportions right? All that kind of stuff. But then there are other things to consider too. You know, is there a hole in your collection? You know, maybe you've got a pipe collection and you've got, you know, that one pipe that Bo, you're kind of talking about that you envision and you're still searching for that one piece. Or, you know, maybe there's a variety of pipes that you have, but you're kind of lacking in this one area. And you're like, man, you know, I've got a lot of straight pipes that, you know, are sandblasted and, you know, have large bowls. I'd really like to, you know, maybe get a few bent pieces that have smaller bowls, more variety. So is there a hole in your collection because of that? And then also there's the whole thing that is actually a thing. A lot of people don't, you know, believe this because it's like, well, surely a pipe can't be an investment. And no, typically it's not, but but there are pipes that are, you know, if you are buying for an investment or collection, what is its value? What is its long-term value? Its resale value? What's the market for it on the secondary market? And some pipes just simply have a higher demand than others, even though, you know, they may not be as well produced as others. And so
hang on. Yeah, buying pipes as an investment. I know that perked up a lot of people's ears, Matt. Are we talking Beanie Babies here, or like, are there actually some brands that you could see like a return on?
That's the thing, right? It's always like, well, like really, is this where we've gotten to now? Like, we're going to tell ourselves that we can, oh, well, you know, it's basically my IRA or 401k, but like, well, I just put that in, you know, into Peterson's or whatever.
got a lot of money tied up in Savinelli, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, man, that's probably not the wisest thing to do, but you know, there are kind of similarities to this. You jokingly talked about Beanie Babies. Well, that, you know, is a fad thing. It's something that came in and out, but you know, there's long-term storage of wealth that people do, you know, in other areas. We talk about folks that have high-end whiskey collections. You know, here in this part of the country, a lot of folks collect firearms, and that really is a store of wealth. It's not as much you know, like holding on to you know, a stock in your favorite company or something, as much as it is maybe buying like a, you know, some gold or something that holds value because there's only so much of it and it's a limited amount and you see less and less of it as time goes on and things of that nature. So I think it is certainly, although it's not, you know, something that is going to appreciate in value overwhelmingly, it's certainly, you know, there's some pipes that have resale value. And as time goes on, probably will have more resale value, just like the tobacco market. You know, we've seen folks take, you know, premium tinned tobacco that is sought after or maybe isn't manufactured anymore and cellar it up for a few years and then put it out there. And so, you know, I think it just depends on the case.
That's interesting. I mean, like, you know, don't get me wrong. I think in previous years, I would have been like, what? No. But then seeing kind of, you know, what has happened in the tobacco market in particular, it's a little bit like, I don't know.
Well, and so, you know, as we think about, you know, pipes that we might acquire, like there's, you've kind of got your first level of pipes. We talk about these Cadillac pipes, you know, that first stop would be these Cadillac factory pipes. These are historic brands that are high quality, but they have the highest resale value. And it's because the market, you know, is where folks are, you know, they're seeking after these pipes. They're demanding these pipes. It's a, you know, the market demand for them is broad and significant, you know, because they're either a well-known name or a well-known, you know, carving house or whatever it might be. The first tier of these, you know, we can assume just you probably got the words, the brand names on the tip of your tongue, but, you know, the Dunhills and the Costellos of the world. These are the most famous pipe carving houses in the world. They, you know, were historic brands that were innovators, you know, that created entire shapes and entire categories and entire subcategories of pipe-related things. You know, so even if you don't like them now or think they've decreased in quality or whatever, they still have that pedigree. And so, you know, there's something to be said for that. And that, you know, holds value with people who are looking for, you know, looking for a pipe or a name. These companies a lot of times will have access to premium material, but they cost more because people want them. That's the thing. It's a demand issue. And so, you know, these pipes are generally going to start, you know, $500 and kind of go up from there. The more I've been in this business, you know, people are like, you know, is that $700 Dunhill, is that really worth $700? And you know, that maybe not, but the thing you can't get around is that someone out there is willing to pay $700 for that pipe. Like that pipe, it's a $700 pipe because if you don't buy it for $700, someone else is going to buy it for $700. Like it has a value of that because of the demand of it. You know, the name recognition is critical. People want a Dunhill pipe. Folks, you know, typically search for their birth year Dunhill. And so, you know, they're not doing that with a Brigham pipe or a Costello pipe or a Vowan pipe, you know, or even a Siriacopo pipe. You know, they want a Dunhill. They want their Dunhill and their birth year. And so that comes with a value, you know, and so, I think there's something to be said for that. There's also the pipe brands, or there's also, you know, acquiring pipes in the sense in which, you know, you have kind of these collectible brands that maybe don't exist anymore, that, you know, are historic artifacts in themselves, or just, you know, from famous makers that aren't in existence anymore. I talked last week about those Sheraton pipes that I've been pining over. A lot of folks collect older Petersons from the pre-Republic era, or older Stanwells when they were actually made in, say, Denmark or even England. And then you've got, you know, pipe brands like GBD and Kamoy and these old brands that were just workhorse, you know, awesome premium pipes from the, you know, mid 20th century. And that's, you know, something that they collect and know and love. And so it has some value for them like that. And, you know, it depends on if that part of your collection is lacking, or you know, if you you know, think it's going to be a worthwhile investment because of you know, your personal enjoyment of fulfilling out that kind of collection, it may be worth it to you. Carving House is also, you know, we have everything else. You know, Carving House is like, you know, again, Siriacopo or Cavici, Ardor. I think of Savinelli Autographs or, you know, big carvers like the folks at Ashton or, you know, the Nording Handmade Pipes. I mean, the prices are going to vary wildly on a lot of this stuff. And what's interesting, though, is a lot of times the quality will even exceed or certainly match what you would find in a Costello or a Dunhill. But what's someone willing to pay for the pipe? And a lot of folks, if they're looking for their first premium pipe, they go into it thinking, well, you know, I want a Dunhill because I want that white spot. And so they're willing to pay a couple hundred extra bucks for it. And I think that's interesting. That says something about the value of those pipes.
I can't help but, you know, kind of put on the visor of the customer here. to click on the lens. Because obviously, Ben, you're on the sales side of things. Why should I, as a customer, trust you to tell me? You know what I mean? Like I don't want to be adversarial, but like to kind of play devil's advocate a little bit, you know. All right, so I'm rocking with you, especially the mindset of like, hey, you know, that's the price point because somebody else will buy it for that exact price point. I am very much of that mindset. I you know, believe in you know, very much so, like, hey, if people don't want it, they won't buy it. If they do, they will, and that's the price point they'll buy it for. So I'm down with that. So I guess my question then comes to, like, you know, the mindset of the customer. Is that pipe worth that amount of money? Are you the kind of person that wants to spend that kind of money on that pipe? Like, what kind of pipe connoisseur are you? You mentioned kind of, you know, the collecting mindset and that sort of thing. So, like, you know, when is it right to kind of like spend more money on pipes from from the customer standpoint? Not necessarily, because, like, obviously there's value in you know, a quality pipe and just in terms of the grain as well. I mean, that goes beyond, and we've talked about this several times on the show. It's not just about, you know, the better quality smoke, although that's important. It is about the, you know, the caliber, the grain, the name recognition, the, you know, the way in which it was manufactured. There's a lot that goes into kind of that price point.
The value of a pipe. Yeah,
sure. But I mean, so my question really is more of like, okay, so what about for the customer? Like, at what point is the customer ready to kind of move from being, you know, from a basket pipe person to a, you know, dropping a couple $100 on a higher value pipe, or from a, you know, dropping a couple $100 to dropping, like, you know, a grand on a pipe, you know what I mean?
I think it might be, you know, when you get to the point where you want to experience something different. I think that's kind of the threshold for me. It you know, you see folks and they're like, well, you know, I've tried a lot of pipes like that. You know, I'm wondering if there's something more out there or else out there. You know, looking for something maybe that that does smoke a little better, but also want something that is going to be more of a wow factor and start to build a small collection of pipes that might have some value or something of that nature. Or maybe I want to buy a pipe that's you know, significant to mark a certain occasion or something. You know, that might be the time that you decide to stick your toe in the water there. We've got a lot of folks that, you know, pipe smokers are like anybody. They get kind of bored with stuff, you know, and want to mix it up. And so, you know, after a while, if you've bought, you know, so many basket pipes and that's kind of your go-to, and you're like, well, I wonder what else is out there. I might treat myself to a nicer Savinelli or you know, Chacombe or something. You know, what is that about? What's that going to bring me for that extra premium? And so, you know, you make your first foray into that. You stick your toe in the water and try that out for the first time and see that, oh, well, maybe this is a difference. Maybe this does have some value. You know, I think the mistake probably typically comes in when people, you know, right out of the gate kind of overdo it. You know, they don't even know if they are a pipe smoker or, you know, enjoy the whole concept of pipe smoking. And, you know, but then they dive in and buy a, you know, $300 briar or something. Maybe let's, you know, start at a lower level and kind of, you know, work up from there if it's something we enjoy. And maybe, you know, folks are so content with the pipes that they have that, you know, that's not interesting to them. What's interesting to them is just the fact that they enjoy their pipe and the tobacco that they love. You know, there's a lot of people that a $200 or $100 pipe is not, it wouldn't be appropriate for, because their focus is on, you know, their trusty corn cob and their, you know, favorite, ribbon cut tobacco that they've, smoked for decades. And so, you know, I think there's something to be said though for, you know, people that, just want to try something different and just want to mix it up and, add a little variety and maybe treat themselves too. I think that's kind of the point. So, you know, buying an expensive pipe, acquiring a pipe like that, not, you know, something that you have to do at all. But I think, you know, there comes a time when, you know, folks have kind of paid their dues and they're like, well, you know, maybe I'll treat myself to this. It's like getting your Rolex watch or whatever. Not that I'll ever do that.
Right. No, but I mean, I think that's right. Like, it's really about what your mindset is going into dropping some dollars. You know, you made the joke earlier about making sure that it was worth sleeping on the couch. I would make the argument it's never worth sleeping on the couch over a pipe purchase. You know what I mean? Like, ultimately, you want to make sure that there's no buyer's remorse into this and you're not prioritizing spending, you know, money on something that is going to ultimately not bring you, you know, some form of joy. And then also on top of that, you know, like, you know, I like what you said. Like, if you're going into this from the standpoint of like wanting to treat yourself, or if you're going into this from the standpoint of just kind of wanting to take that next step, it's the right way to do it. Jumping in like head first, like going, you know, like into the deep end, real quickly, especially on something that you might be very new to, is almost like a guaranteed path towards never picking up the pipe again, because you're going to feel as though you were suckered into spending a lot of money that you should have never spent on something you weren't even sure that you knew about. And so defeating buyer's remorse is such a critical, like, it's something that's very important, especially for newer pipe smokers who are getting into this. But I would even say for seasoned pipe smokers, you know, to make sure that they don't, like, you know, end up in that situation where, you know, they dropped, you know, $500, $600, $700 on something that they honestly were not ready for, and that it's going to end up sitting there on the shelf, or they'll smoke it and feel as though, like, oh man, you know,
that's it.
what else could I have spent this money on? Make sure that it is something that you want, and that it's got the kind of value that you have. So anyway, that's more of, I'll from my side of the counter, I'll put that kind of that kind of spin on it.
I'm a big proponent of track record. You know, for me, that's very. That's just very important. And that's with anything. That's, you know, there's a reason why people read the reviews before they book a hotel room, or maybe buy a certain car brand, or anything. You know, if you use a certain realtor, it's like, well, was this person nice? Did they work well with you? All this kind of stuff. Like, you know, pipe makers are like that. They have histories. They have, standards. They have, you know, track records and you know, happy and satisfied customers and customers maybe that have been burned. And so there's something to be said for that. You know, and I think, you know, investigating some of that is important. You know, particularly when you're thinking about a higher end pipe. You know, I will say a lot of it can cut both ways, because you're paying a premium for, let's say, like I mentioned before, one of those name brand Dunhill pipes. You might be paying a premium for that, but you know, the artisanship on a $400 American artisan pipe might be superior to that $700 Dunhill. But you know, but because it's less of a known quantity, because it's, you know, an artisan carver that doesn't have their name out as much, or doesn't have the history that Dunhill has, it's, you know, they can't charge that amount. And so you're taking, in some sense, kind of a risk buying a higher end pipe from someone like that as you are from Dunhill, because at least with Dunhill you kind of know what you're getting yourself into if you're a sincere pipe smoker. You know, with a artisan carver, you might his button work is not great, or you know, I don't know, maybe the smoked kind of wet because the draw was this or that. You just don't really know until you try it. They build a track record. They have some happy and satisfied customers and that kind of thing. And so, you know, if you are going to spend a lot of money on a pipe, some of those things matter, particularly if, if you're like the most pipe smokers and don't wear a monocle and your ascot to the country club.
No judgment.
No judgment. If you are, that's great. Wear your monocle. I'd love to, you know, see you wear a monocle.
Yeah, rocking the monocle. No, man, that's good. Well, you know, one of the things that I think that, you know, we can be very, very sure of is when it comes to when is the right time to acquire a pipe, when can you know that you're not going to have any kind of buyer's remorse because you're always getting a good quality product at a price that is not going to make you lose a ounce of sleep. I'm talking about a good quality corncob pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is right. Missouri Meerschaum pipes are, of course, very competitively priced and a great value for what you get. And of course, they are made famous because of their authentic corncob pipes made in Washington, Missouri, but also now feature Old Dominion clay pipes. These are fun clay pipes that have a historic flair to them and are available at their website, corncobpipe.com. You can go there and check them out. And they have gift sets. They have them where you can buy a set of three pipes with a hardwood pipe, a cob pipe, and a clay pipe, and just a nice variety. So check them out. A clay pipe is always a great way to try new tobaccos, to see if tobaccos that you're interested in are worth pursuing, and really sampling the nuances of the tobacco. So anyway, go to corncobpipe.com, and if you order them, they'll send one right to your front door.
That's right. And hey, if you happen to be rocking one of those Old Dominions, be sure to take a picture of yourself doing so. Share it out. It's a good way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring the show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week coming in from listener Dwight. Not that Dwight.
Dwight.
It's a different Dwight. Actually, it might be that Dwight. I don't know.
It might be that Dwight.
Greetings, JD and Bo. I am still fairly new to the pipe smoking thing, having started about a year and a half ago. At this point, I mostly enjoy English blends, especially Shepherd's Pie from the Squire. But I've always been on the hunt for an aromatic tobacco that really tastes like how it smells. Delicious. I was wondering if you guys had any recommendations. Love the show. Keep up the good work. P.S. I forgot to mention, I hate cherry flavoring. Please, anything but cherry. And again, that comes from Dwight, but not that Dwight, Neil.
Yeah, no, that's great. Man, mostly an English smoker, but looking for an aromatic that's flavorful. Of course, you know, we could always go down the path of 1Q or BCA, you know, tobaccos that have some nice aromatic essence to them. If you do like English blends and are looking for an aromatic, maybe try Lane's HGL. Good tobacco that has some Latakia. It's a kind of a crossover blend. Really nice, makes the room smell nice without being too overpowered with the Latakia. There's also other favorites like Cornell & Diehl's Autumn Evening, which has a nice kind of maple topping to it, or something like Cornell & Diehl's Chocolate Cavendish, which is just a real nice kind of milk chocolate savory tobacco that's not overwhelming in its sweetness, but also has a nice room note. So maybe try one of those. See how those fit you.
Well, great question, Dwight. And you know, this is how I know it's not that Dwight, because Dwight from The Office actually is a pipe smoker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think he would smoke English. I think he would smoke German.
Yeah.
That's a terrible joke. Anyway.
All right. You're right.
Great question, Dwight. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, send it in to the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Jones. Ow! All right, man. Quick fire questions. This is going to be kind of a tough one. This is going to make you think a little bit, I think.
All right. Okay.
You ready for these?
Probably not.
Okay. Here we go. All right. Would you rather look 15 years younger or be 15 years wiser?
Ooh.
Yeah. These are going to make you think.
Look 15 years younger or be 15 years wiser?
Yeah.
I think I would rather be 15 years wiser, but by a hair.
right.
If I'm honest with myself, by a hair. If I'm honest with myself, but still be 15 years wiser. That more importantly.
That's good. Yeah, I would. I'd probably say the same thing. I mean, like, you know, as I feel the back of my hair, head feeling a little sparser than it used to be, that 15 right. years younger does.
That's pretty alluring. Yeah. That's tempting. That's very tempting. You know, we went to the beach a couple weekends ago, and man, seeing those photos of my family at the beach is just so precious, and my little kids playing in the sand, and it's so fun. And then there's my, you know, fat, hairy self.
Dad bod. Yeah. It's a thing. It happens.
It's a thing, man. It's that dad bod.
It's great. No, but yeah, 15 years wiser. Absolutely. I'm right there with you. All right. Read minds for 3 days or read feelings forever.
Ooh. You know, I don't think I ever want to read someone's mind. I really don't. Mm. Like, I don't, you know. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you read minds for 3 days, you could make a fortune or something. But I just, you know, I don't think I ever want to do that. So I'll read feelings. That seems more appropriate.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. To be honest, even though I wrote the question, I wasn't quite sure what reading feelings would like look like. You know what I mean? Like, and on the one hand,
just kind of understanding people or empathizing with them.
Yeah, I think it's like an extreme empathy is probably a good way to look.
Okay,
at it.
Yeah. I got to go with that.
Yeah, I would go with that as well. Yeah, reading minds can be that seems dangerous. Even if only for 3 days, I think definitely reading feelings. All right. Would you rather command and control animals or understand animals? So let me give some clarification here. You could you could control an army of squirrels. All right. That you could do that. Or you could know what Penny is thinking. Your dog.
I'd rather know that. I would rather know what the animals around me are thinking. Yeah, I think I'd rather understand them.
You're crazy.
As terrifying as that is.
You're crazy. An army of squirrels, John Dean.
The chipmunk army.
Yeah. I'm going to go definitely with the command and control animals. I think I'm cool not knowing what animals are thinking, but if I could like control them Aquaman style, I'll go with that. Plus it's on land, which makes you better than Aquaman. By the way, Aquaman, I think I'm... What are the greatest supervillains of the sea? I mean, like, if you're a fish and just one day Aquaman comes on and is like commands you to stop what you're doing and go throw yourself at a supervillain to get like blown away in a laser blast, like, Aquaman is evil. And I want that power on land.
on land.
So I'm going to go with that one. All right.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. Then finally, a house that cleans itself or a car that drives itself?
Oh, a house that cleans itself.
Really?
Like, part of the fun in a car is driving the car. Like for me, you know, I don't understand folks that like want to take away the human aspect of that. I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe it'd be safer or whatever, but there's a such thing as a driving enthusiast, you know, that like likes just, I don't know, to drive a car that is entertaining to them or, you know, something, particularly something that's got a bigger engine or, you know, is a sportier vehicle. I'd rather the house clean itself. I don't want to clean the house.
Oh man, we are polar opposites on this one. Cause like
funny.
When driving, I do prefer to be the one that's driving, but I also hate driving. You know, I've got like a whole rule pre-COVID, which was like, if it's longer than 5 hours, I'm flying.
I thought it was 6 hours. Well, so you're actually getting worse. Yeah.
I've had to do a lot of driving this last best year to get around. Yeah. And everything. Yeah. But man, no, I like, you know, you get behind the wheel and you can't do anything. And like, for me, my mind is constantly going and I want to write something down or I want to like feel like I'm getting something done, and just driving just like sucks away that energy from me.
Yeah.
However, like cleaning the house, like does kind of have the sense of like getting things under control and kind of getting that like satisfaction of like knowing exactly where everything is and everything in its place and kind of getting orderly and that sort of deal. And so while, you know, cleaning the house, especially, now, I will say this. I'm at that phase of parenthood where I do kind of have a house that'll clean itself because the kids are old enough to do a lot of the cleaning.
So, it's called chores and allowances, and it works in your favor.
Yes, it does. This is very true. So you'll get there, my friend. You'll get there. But yeah, so there you go. All right. Well, there you go. Those are the quick fire questions for this week. I wanted to make them a little bit more introspective.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, if you've got some quick fire questions for us, help us out. Send them into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, listener feedback. This first one comes in from Tyler Edwards, who says, hey, JD and Bo, this is Tyler Edwards. I wanted to not only thank JD for the shout out on the podcast for flavored water and leather tobacco bowl, but I also wanted to see if Bo has a P.O. box for or somewhere I could send him a care package as well. And that comes in again from Tyler Edwards. Tyler, thank you so much, brother, for the request and for wanting to support the show and hooking us up, man. The best way, if you want to send anything to me, send it to the shop. Because John David has to send me stuff on a quarterly basis anyway.
Yep. Man, send it to me here at the shop. We'll make sure Bo gets it. But man, Tyler, longtime friend of the show, listener from the Panhandle of Texas, brought us some delicious brown water that we enjoyed, and man made us some cool leather items. And so yeah, man, just send it on. We'll make sure he gets it.
That's right. That's right. And I'll be sure to open it up on the YouTube channel too when anything comes in. Man, next one comes in from Chuck B. What did Chuck have to say?
He says, hello, guys. Love the show, even the Ewok show. You feel affirmed, Bo. That's good.
Always.
He goes on, just wanted to share my story about the clay pipes you keep advertising. A clay was the first pipe I ever bought. Over 20 years ago, it was in Williamsburg, Virginia, when I got married. My wife bought me one, and I love it. It has been broken for a few years, going to buy a new one from corncobpipes.com. But thanks for all the smoking help over the years. Oh, and by the way, I am a Yankee smoker. I'm from north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thanks for reading my ramblings. Hope to make the trip to see you guys soon. And that's from Chuck B. So, man, Chuck, thanks so much, brother. We're glad you found us, and man, glad you're enjoying that corn cob or that clay pipe. I mean, ones that they've got at Missouri Meerschaum are great. They smaller bowls, you know, so not something that you're going to sit there and smoke for a really long time. But I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it. It'll be a nice replacement for the one that you said you broke that your wife gave to you. I'm betting you still have that one somewhere. So maybe it's time to put that one in a shadow box or something.
There you go. Time to retire it for sure.
Yep.
All right, Chuck. Thanks so much for writing in. And hey, if you ever want to write into the show, head over to show@countrysquireradio.com. That is the email address to reach us there. By the way, a great way to send some listener feedback as well is through iTunes. If you've not done so already, head over to iTunes and write us a review. It's a great way to help out the show and doesn't cost you a dime to do it. But if you're able to spend a few dimes to keep us on the air, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where you can become a member of the International Pipe Club, the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. We'd love to have your support. Again, that's patreon.com/countrysquireradio. You can also follow the show at Squire Radio, @_CountrySquire, or @JohnDavidCole. Those are all the important social media handles you need to know, but all of that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com.
It was the way you pulled that off. It was kind of reminiscent of the air flight attendant person that's going through all that crazy stuff that they have right. to say, like right before that, you know, they turn the lights off, buckle up.
Yeah, pull down your thing and the handle bag comes over your head.
Thank you for flying Southwest.
No, man, we got some business we got to do. We got to take care of business.
Got to fit it in, man. Got to fit it in.
All right. Well, hey, y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining us this week to talk about acquiring pipes. Hopefully, you know, you got some pointers. Maybe you felt affirmed in some of your higher priced pipes, or maybe you've got some good wisdom going in for when you're ready to upgrade to the next tier of pipe purchasing.
Yeah, you know, there. It's funny. I mentioned, I think we talked about last week, you know, just I've been kind of in the purchasing mood for some of these pipes that I've been collecting, and I'm just not sorry about it. Just, you know, I've got there's my kids are fed, and you know, the car's got gas in it, and you know, I'm gonna go out and buy a dumb pipe occasionally, and so maybe you know, every once in a while, give yourself the leeway to do that.
Hey, man, as long as you're happy with that purchase, it's right. not gonna cause you grief. I'm down. All right, man. Well, good deal. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.